I took a trip to Vietnam, a country in which I was born. I only lived there for a year, and this was my first time back. And I went there for 2 weeks, and like Lisa asked me, well, was it scary? Yeah, a little bit. Things were actually really good. We went over there to look at some missions opportunities, and we made some good relationships with pastors in Vietnam and Cambodia. And we'll update you. One of the pastors flying here this summer, and we're going to continue to talk about how City Lights can join with what they're doing and how we could support them and even learn from them about how they're planting churches. And this is interesting over there. Like, they're growing like crazy, and they're planting churches all over the place, and no one has any money. They don't have buildings. They don't need any of that stuff. They just have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they just go out and they do all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, I was like, man, we got to learn what you're doing, because, you know, I don't know what we can give, because, I mean, like, it's going well. So keep that in prayer. Also, one of the things I asked for prayer about was I went to go also to reconnect with my dad. In past 15 years, I've probably only seen him like 3 times, and we spent like 2 weeks together, and we spent a lot of time, and I got to share the gospel with him, and we were real open, and I actually introduced him to several of the pastor friends I made. And my pastor friends are following up with my dad, and they're, you know, so be praying. My dad's Buddhist, he's not a believer, but be praying for him. But the interesting thing is, I was thinking about the family in which I was raised. I don't know about you. I was raised in a real difficult family situation, but for some reason, God really protected me. You know, I although drugs and alcohol and all that stuff was all around me, God always protected me from that for some reason. And I think what God did, it's very providential, something I'm very thankful for. That God gave me some warning signs very early on that really shook me up when I was a teenager. And where's Brenda? I was talking to Brenda yesterday about this because she remembers this situation. A few years ago, we were we're working with a social worker trying to get approved for this foster care. Right, but and then the social worker was at our house and getting this final approval ready, and then all of a sudden the social worker, someone called her back and said, "You got a red flag on your record." It's like, Pastor, you spent time in jail. You did felony time in prison in these years and all this. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was in junior high, right? And I was like, that's not me. It's like, no, we can't. So they denied us for this foster care thing that we were trying to do. And what turned out was that one of my brothers did time in my name, right? So this whole time, I was like, I got a record, you know? And I had to go get fingerprinted and all this stuff. It's like, hey, it wasn't me. So they cleared that up. But that was kind of the family I grew up in. I have 4 older brothers. You know, a few of them did time and all kinds of crazy stuff. They had warrants out when I was young. And they're a lot older than me. So when they were doing their mess around stuff, I was real young, right? And when I was young, I remember twice the police busting down our door, coming looking for my brother, you know, my mom crying on the couch and the house turned up, you know, and like we always had all kinds of crazy stuff, guns and all this stuff in the house. They took all that stuff. And so I didn't know, and I was real young, but God used those pictures in my head that if I'm not careful, that's where I'm going to end up. Right, and you guys watch that, you know, the movie, The Christmas Carol. You know, Ebenezer Scrooge, where the angels come and shows them, like, hey, this is what it's gonna be like in the future, right? And he was like, it shook him and it scared him. That's what happened to me as a teenager, and it made me look at my life and made me make some big changes in my life, and that's how I started going to church. Like, no one in my family went to church, but I'm like, I need to do something, and I need to get my life straight, because I don't want that. And it was a real warning sign for me. And today, this is what I want to do. I want to give some of you a warning sign for your life. Because for me, I was on really dangerous ground, but I didn't know it. And I think for some of us here, God wants to get your attention, because you're on dangerous ground right now, and you probably don't even know it. He wants to shake you up and maybe get your attention. And the reason why some of us are on dangerous ground, we don't know it, is our problem is, as if I were to ask you, how are you doing? How's life? And, you know, what does God think of you? And you would probably say something like, you know what? I'm a good person. You know, I make mistakes, but I'm a good person. And most of us, that's how we think of ourselves. You know, we try to do good. We try to make good choices. Sometimes we mess up, but we have good intentions. We try to help others. Heck, I'm in church right now, right? I'm trying. I'm trying to seek God. I'm a good person. Like most of us would say, we're a good person, right? Good people. And I think God wants to challenge us because being a good person is actually very dangerous ground to stand on. Because this is the truth. If you're a bad person, that's actually a better place to be at, because if you acknowledge that you're a bad person, you admit your mistakes and you admit your need for God, and you're like, God, man, I am in trouble. I don't know what to do. My life is just going out of control, and I need you, God. Right? If you're a bad person, you would seek God. But if you're a good person, you're like, God, I think I got this. You know, I'll call you when I need you, God, because I got this. Right? A good person fools themselves to that, hey, I'm going to figure this out on my own. So today, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to look at a story in the Bible about a really, really good guy. I mean, this guy, he's a good guy. And this guy is better than any of us in this room. This guy, he's a good guy, but he is a story of a good person, but it's a tragic story because this good guy misses opportunity and he turns his back on Jesus, right? He's a good guy, but it's just a bad story. And let me give you the context of the story that we're talking about today. We're in Mark chapter 10. If you want to follow along with us, in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 starts with two, basically there's three stories kind of put together, and we're really going to focus on the third of the three stories, but this is the context. Jesus was teaching and doing all his stuff, and these people keep running up to Jesus and bothering him with stuff. Jesus, what about this? What about this? What about this? Right? So the first group of people came up to Jesus and they had questions about marriage and divorce because they were looking for a loophole about getting divorced. And they said, hey, is it cool if we get divorced? And back then, you could divorce if you're a man. Women can't file for divorce, but men could divorce your wife for any reason whatsoever and marry someone else. Like, if you don't like her cooking, you could divorce her. If you can do. And then the religious people said, hey, Jesus, is it okay for, you know, there's this loophole, that all we have to do is petition for this thing. Can I divorce my wife? And Jesus, like, and he corrects that loophole, and he says, hey, let's go back to how God intended. He talked about, and he challenges the way they thought. He says, hey, he says, man and woman, God created you to be one. He says, what God has put together, let no man separate. So Jesus answers that question about divorce. He says, it doesn't matter what the world allows you to do. It doesn't matter what's legal. This is what God created, so let's stick with the original plan. So that's what, you know, he answers that first question. The second question is these people start bringing children to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, can you bless my kids? And then his disciples say, kids, get these kids out of here. We're about doing real business here. Let's get, you know, and Jesus corrects his disciples and he says, hey, you guys got it all wrong. Let the kids come to me because these kids are closer to the kingdom of God than you are. You got to be like one of these children. So he blesses the children. This is what happens. In that culture, what Jesus is doing is he's being countercultural. In that culture, they said, you could divorce anyone you want to divorce. Just go ahead, and it's normal. And Jesus is like, no, you got to go. If you want to follow me, you got to go against what the culture says. Do it my way. And in that culture that day, children were not honored, right? Children were they didn't have any rights. They were seen as less. And Jesus is like, no, let's lift up the children. You should invest in the children, right? In America, is different. How we treat kids in America is different than most other countries. countries in the world. Most other countries around, I mean, they call it, I mean, they're like throwaway kids in other countries. I mean, like, honestly, on my trip, I went to Cambodia, and like, kids on the street, throwaway kids, right? And they don't care, because, and this is the thing, Jesus, the reason why we value children is from the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is like, no, let's lift them up, right? So that's what's going on in this context. So people come up to him, and then the third person that comes up to him was this guy. They call him the rich young ruler. That's his name. We don't know his real name. They call him the rich young ruler. And this guy had it together. And he came up to Jesus and he asked Jesus a real interesting question. Right, a real important question. I'm going to read verse 17 through 31. About this guy, this conversation Jesus has with this guy, the rich young ruler. Okay, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. You guys there? It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Is that a good question or a bad question? That's a good question. I want to know that, right? Jesus, you're doing all this stuff. You're talking about, what do I need to do? Can you just tell me, like, and he was excited, he ran up to him, and then Jesus, like, okay, hold up, he, this is how Jesus does things. He doesn't answer the question directly, he wants to know where you're coming from, and he tries to, he answers the question with the question. He says, why do you call me good? It's like, what angle are you, why are you doing all this? And then Jesus says, no one is good except God alone. And then he goes, he says, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother, right? And that was the right answer in the Jewish culture, because this guy came up to Jesus and he says, good teacher, literally a rabbi, good, he's a good rabbi, and he's like, oh, you're one of those religious people, you're calling me a rabbi, right? So Jesus knows what the right answer he was taught was. He's like, hey, you know the commandments, right? And in verse 20, this guy answered, teacher, rabbi, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Woo. You know what he just said? Jesus, I'm a good person. Like, oh, that's it? You're just telling me to keep the law? That's what my Sunday school teacher had been telling me. I'm good with that. I was raised up in church. Ever since I was a little kid, my mama used to put me on her lap, read the Bible to me, and told me not to do those things. And I've kept those, every single one of those commands you just said, since I was a boy. And in verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. It was like, I love you, but you don't get it, right? You don't get it. And then this is what he says. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. And he's like, I can't do that, Jesus. Like, I could not lie. You're telling me to do something kind of crazy, radical, sell all that stuff. I can't do that. And then Jesus, after the guy left, he teaches his disciples what just happened. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, who then can be saved? The reason why they said, who then can be saved? Because in their culture, if you were rich, it was a sign that you were doing good and God was blessing you, right? If you're poor, that means, there's something wrong with you and you're not doing good. I mean, that's like the story of Job. You remember the story of Job? He was a rich guy and he was like, oh man, you're the most righteous guy. And when God took away his money, and they're like, Job, you sinning or something, right? What happened? You start sinning? How did God, so riches were equated with God's blessing that you're doing good. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, hey, this rich guy, he can't even enter the, and the disciples like, if a rich guy can't enter, and that's a sign of God's blessing, what about us? Who can enter, right? Who then can be saved? Verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." It's like, Jesus, I didn't have much. I had a fishing boat. I didn't have all that money, but I left all that to follow you. And he says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or child or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." It's like you're going to get some blessing now, and you'll get even more in the life to come, eternal life. "But many who will be first will be last, and the last first." Okay, let me go back and tell you about what's going on here with this guy. So there's this guy. He's a good guy, it's like we could relate to him. I think a little bit, right? This guy, he was a young guy. He was a good guy. If you met him on the street, he's like, "Man, that's a cool dude." Right? He was young. He wasn't going out partying with his fellas, right? With his boys. He was young, but he was asking questions about God, right? He came from a good family. He says, "Oh, ever since I was a boy, I know this stuff. I've been in Sunday school. I know, I've been doing this stuff." He was rich, right? He says he had great wealth. He was powerful and influential. They say he was a rich young ruler. I don't know if he came from a royal family or he was a businessman, but he had people, right? So he was in charge of some people. And the thing is, honestly, he's probably good looking. He's probably popular with the ladies. I mean, how ugly can you be if you're young, you got money, you're rich, and you're power? I mean, come on, he's probably popular with the ladies, right? Don't matter. He can't be that ugly, right? He had it going on, right? But that's just the surface stuff. But inside, he was also religious. Like, he knew the law of God. He's like, "I know that stuff, Jesus. You're quoting that stuff. I know that stuff," right? And this is the thing. He was honestly seeking God. No one told him. No one forced him to go. And, he says when he saw Jesus come down, he ran up to Jesus. And he asked him. He took initiative. He eagerly ran up to Jesus. He was humble. What did he do? He ran up to Jesus and he fell down. He knelt down to Jesus and he called him good teacher, symbol of respect. He was humble. He wasn't arrogant. He had money and power, but he wasn't arrogant. He was humble, right? He was a moral person. And when Jesus says, "You know the commands," and he says, "Yeah, I've been doing that ever since I was a boy. Ever since I was a little kid, I've been trying to help people. I've been trying to stay away from the bad stuff. I've been trying to honor my parents." Like he was a moral person. He did the right things. Right? And he had good intentions. He asked a question that a lot of us don't even think to ask. Right? He actually, it's like, what must I do? I mean, is there anything I need to do? Right? He had good intentions. But the thing about this story that's tragic was that not only was he had all this stuff going for him, he was a good guy. The truth of the matter, at the end of the day, is he was lost. He was lost. He turned his back on Jesus. Right? Jesus offered him a relationship with him, with it forgiveness, eternity in heaven, and he says, I can't do that one, Jesus. I can't." He was lost, right? And this is what I want to talk to you about. This rich young ruler is not just some dude way back when. He is us. That's us today, right? We're the same way. We think we're good people. We think we're religious, we're humble, we got good intentions, and we're honestly seeking. I mean, he is us, and so the question, what I want to do is try to pull out some lessons, actually warnings for us. I think this guy's story gives us some warnings, okay? If you have your sermon notes, your bulletin there, it says warnings for good people. These are some lessons that we can learn from this guy's story. To apply to our lives, okay? Some warnings, okay? If you want to fill in the blanks, here they are. Number one, first warning is this. The world cannot satisfy the deepest need of our heart. The deepest needs of our heart. So the blank is deepest needs, okay? This guy had money, power, respect. He had his health. He was young. He was smart. He had people liked him. He had everything that life could give. But at the end of the day, there was still something missing, right? There was still something missing. And for those of us here, we're pursuing what this guy has. right? We're looking for money. We're looking for respect. We're looking for power. We're looking for all those things. This guy had it, and he says, it still doesn't fulfill my heart, right? So the thing is that you gotta learn from this guy's lesson. This guy had everything that you want, and he says, that's not enough. I need something else. You know, he wasn't fulfilled. So the question I have for you is, what are you pursuing to fulfill your heart? And if the answer is not Jesus, you're looking in the wrong places. Because if you have everything else and you don't have Jesus, your deepest needs of your heart will not be satisfied. You'd be like this guy, running around, you know, running around looking like, can you tell me? There's something missing in my heart, you know? So the first warning is this. The world and everything the world can give you cannot satisfy the deepest needs of your heart. Number two, being a good person is not good enough. Being a good person is not good enough. Actually, being a good person will likely send you to hell, right? If you're just a good person. Because this is the thing. Jesus says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is like, hey, you know the commands? And Jesus quotes half of the Ten Commandments, right? Did you know the Ten Commandments are split into two parts? And Jesus sums up the commandments and say, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So there are four commandments about loving God. There's six commandments about loving your neighbor. And Jesus just says, okay, let's just talk about loving your neighbor. You know, do not steal, do not commit murder, adultery, do not envy, honor your father. He's talking about just the things you do for your fellow man. Right, and he talks about all, he gives those six commands, and the guy was like, I got that down, right? That's when Jesus looked at him and says, and he loved him, like pitied him, like, man, you really don't get it, because that's not the right answer, right? Because Jesus says, don't lie. This guy says, I haven't lied since I was a child. He's like, honor your father. I have always honored my father. And Jesus like, You really think you're really that good, huh? You really think you... And this is what he did, right? When the guy asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus talks about selling your possessions. Jesus didn't say sell your possession because that's how you earn eternal life. Basically, what Jesus was trying to do was... Because he saw this pride in this guy who's like, you think you're a good person. Let me just show you how you don't fulfill the law. You think you fulfill the law, right? You think you've done good because you've loved your family, you help people, and you've done all that stuff, okay? I'm not even going to argue if you ever lie. We know that's not the truth. We know you're a liar, like everyone else is a liar. But let me just ask you one question about the other half of the commands, right? It says, love your Lord your God, have him, serve him only, put him first in your life. That's the first and greatest commandment, right? And this guy, and Jesus is like, let me show you how you don't fulfill the commandments. Why don't you sell your stuff and follow me? Right? This guy's like, oh, no, I can't do that. You're talking about following God. No. And it basically just said, like, Jesus said, showed him that he was not a good guy. Putting God first. He said, do not have any other idols. Do not serve any other gods. He's like, no. I can't give up this thing that I love to... No, this is the... So in one thing, Jesus is like, one thing you lack, you think you got it all, you're missing one thing, right? You are worshiping your money before God, and if you don't get that stuff settled, I mean, we have nothing to talk about. That's what Jesus said, right? So he says, so he points out that this guy, basically, he was in any... anybody's opinion, he was a good guy, right? No one could ever point to him and say, oh, that guy, he's a crook, he did anything, right? He's a good person, but he's also a sinner, right? He denied that in his heart he was still at sinful rebellion against God. That in his heart, he worshiped other things other than God. That in his heart, he loved his money, he loved his possession, he loved his power and control, and he could call his own shots in life, right, if he had all this stuff. He loved that stuff more than he loved God. Right? You could be a good person, you could think you're a good person, but and what you're doing is you're denying that at the core of your being, you're still a sinful, rebellious person against God. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us, that all of us, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we've all turned our back on God, right? And that's what the Bible teaches us, and that the results of our sin, it says the wages of sin is what? Death. Death spiritually, separation from God. Death physically, right? Our bodies are going to give away one day, and we're going to die. But if we don't get right with God before that day happens, there will be another death called eternal death, right? So being a good person will not save you from these things. Your good works will not fix those problems. It's just, you're just trying to cover up all that stuff. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell this guy. You're covering up. You're trying to be good out here, but in the core of your heart where no one can see, you're still a rebel against God, and you're an idolatrous person in your heart, and you don't love God. Right? So being a good person is not good enough. There are no good people. Right? This is the thing. One day we're all going to meet God. And if God asks you, why should I let you into heaven? If your answer is, because I'm a good person, that's the wrong answer. Because number one, you're not a good person. Okay? Good people don't go to heaven, right? Forgiven people go to heaven, right? So if you're, it's actually to acknowledge that I'm not good and I need to be forgiven. Because if you're good, you don't need to ask for forgiveness if you think you're good. So the second thing is, honestly, this is one thing I get frustrated about church people. I get frustrated about this about being a pastor too, because when I meet church people outside of church, they don't know how to act around me, and they're like, they try to be, all of a sudden they try to be good, like, you know, seeing some dudes, you know, smoking cigarettes, like, oh, pastor, how you doing? It's like, come on, dude, this should be real, right? Like, who are you hiding it from, right? It's like, I'm not God anyways, you're not sinning against me or whatever, I don't, you know. It's actually better to just say, man, I'm screwed up, and I need God. Stop trying to pretend you're good, because we know you're not. God knows you're not. And the first step is just to say, I'm not a good person, and I need Jesus, right? If you're really that good, then you don't need a Savior. Then you're on your own, okay? Number three, a third warning is that spiritual opportunities don't last forever. They don't last forever. This guy was open. God was tugging on his heart. There was something that caused him to go and seek after Jesus. There was something there, and he was eager, but then that moment passed. That door closed, and he rejected God, and he sealed his eternity. And for some of you right now, I mean, your moment, this might be your moment, you know, and it will not last forever. You think that you, and this is the thing, Jesus, the door that closed was not the door of Jesus offering his salvation and forgiveness. The door that closed was the openness in his heart, right? Because all of a sudden, he's like, no, I don't want that anymore. Just forget that stuff, right? The church will always be here. The gospel will always be here. But what changes is your heart. Sometimes God opens your heart for a season, and he's prying it open. He's putting things in your life to keep it open so you can receive it. And then that time passes, and God lets go, and it shuts. You shut your heart. And then you stop wanting it, and you miss your opportunity. Right? Spiritual opportunities don't last forever. Your moment will not last forever to follow God. Okay? Number four. It only takes one thing to keep you out of heaven. Only one thing. Doesn't have to be big. I mean, this guy wasn't sleeping around with a bunch of women, wasn't killing people, wasn't robbing people, right? What was his thing? Love of money. One thing. I mean, and this is what Jesus was saying. He said, you want to follow God, you want God in your life. What if I take it all away? What if I take away your money, that thing you love, and it's just me and you? Is that enough? Is that enough? If I just take all away that stuff, is that enough? And that's what God does to us. I mean, maybe it's not love of money, but maybe it's your pride, or your control, your security, your comfort, or you like being the boss. And Jesus says, hey, you want to follow me, but what if I take away your comfort? But I'm there with you. Is that enough? Right? And you're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to submit to you. Like, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do all that, Jesus. And so that one thing, it only takes one little thing to keep you out of heaven. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be. You don't need to be on drugs. You need to go kill someone or whatever. It could be just like, I don't want to submit that to Jesus. Only takes one thing. Okay, number five. We must see our sacrifice for Jesus in light of his sacrifice for us. We must see our sacrifice for Jesus in light of his sacrifice for us. And the thing is, when we talk about following Jesus, we always emphasize what we give up. Oh, I need to give up this thing in my life, and it's hard. Oh, there's this part of my life I just want to hold on to, But we forget what Jesus sacrificed for us. And this is the thing. The real rich young ruler in this story is not us. The real rich young ruler is Jesus, right? 33 years old. I mean, he was the king of heaven. Streets of gold, right? Streets of gold. He left his riches in heaven. He left everything to come down and pursue us, you and me, to have a relationship with us. And then he asks us, why don't you give up the little stuff you have to have a relationship with me? And Jesus, I left heaven, and I'm about to go to the cross and take your sin upon my body and be punished for your sin and be separated from my Father for you, and I've left all that to pursue a relationship with you, so why don't you leave your little trinkets and follow me? So when we talk about our sacrifice, like, don't think of it as really that much. Because what are you really getting? Jesus says, I come to trade places with you. Okay, I come out of heaven to become a servant, to die as a thief, an outlaw. I come so people can mistreat me and to die the punishment of sin, of your sin, so that you could go and sit up where I used to sit. Right? And it's a trade. But what are we trading? We're trading all we have for all he has. That's the trade. So when you think about your sacrifice, think of it in light of what he has sacrificed for us. We focus too much on our sacrifice. Right? The good news is that Jesus, even though we're sinners and we deny it and we try to cover up our sin, Jesus loves us. He dies on the cross for us, and he offers us this gift, and all we have to do is repent and believe in him. And this is the thing. If you've never made a decision to follow God and to receive him as your Savior and your Lord, you need to do so right away. But it's also not a one-time choice. You make it one time, you make that commitment, but also you get up the next day and you got to make that commitment again. Right? Like, I remember, I mean, almost 14 years ago, I stood in front of an altar and I made a commitment to be with my wife, to love her, cherish her, honor, obey, take care of her sickness and health. I made that commitment. I made it one time, right? But guess what? I made that commitment today too. Right? I woke up this morning, right? And I got to make that commitment again tomorrow. And that's what following Jesus is. It's you make that commitment once, but every day you wake up, you got to make that commitment again. You got to choose now, choose to follow him daily. Let me challenge you one thing. For most of us, there's one thing that is keeping you from fully following Jesus. There's one thing. It could be your comfort. You don't want to give up control. Maybe there's this lifestyle, this thing that you love. You don't want to give this up. And you got your feet in the church, but you don't want to fully follow him because there's this one thing in the way. And Jesus, he's just going to keep on pressing. He's like, no, no, we're not going to go deeper until we deal with this one thing. You've been asking for me to answer these prayers and all that stuff. We'll get to that first. Let's talk about this one thing. We can't go to step B before we figure out step A. And step A is you got to give me that one thing. For those of us, it's different. We all got different things, right? For me, you know what that one thing is? It's control. I like to be in control. I don't like people telling me what to do. Okay, and it's hard for me to submit myself to Jesus, but I got to do it. And he's humbled me. He brought me to my knees. And I was like, Jesus, you win. I give up. Right? So I want to challenge you with that. If you want to experience everything that God has for you, you got to deal with that one thing before, you know, you're asking God to bless you and pour out his blessing and all that stuff. And Jesus is like, okay, I'm prepared to. You don't know what's coming, but let's deal with this one thing. If we don't deal with this one thing, then that's we've got nothing to talk about. Okay? One closing thought here. The question, the last one is this. What is the one thing that is keeping you from following Jesus fully? What is that one thing? Write it down. Write it down. What does Jesus want you to give up? What does Jesus want you to submit to him? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come before you. I just want to thank you for your love for us and your patience. How we, Lord, we struggle in our relationship with you, but how you still keep pursuing us and you keep after us. Lord, we thank you for not giving up on us. And I pray, Lord, I pray for us, your people here, that you would bring to our attention that one thing that you want us to hand over to you. Well, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the obedience and the faith and to give that thing to you and to trust you, Lord, so that you can come into our lives and change us. And, Lord, that you will pour out your blessing upon us, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for challenging us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Well, that closes our service for today. You'll notice we don't pass offering baskets here at City Lights Church. So if God's put it on your heart to give today, and if that's the way you want to respond to him, there's an offering box in the back of the room. It's a black box in the stand. Any giving, you can just slide into that box there. Also, if you had prayer requests today that you didn't get a chance to share, maybe you were nervous or whatever, we still want to pray for you. So there's communication cards on the welcome table in the back. You can always jot down a prayer request on there, slide it in that same offering box, and we'll be sure to pray for it this week for you. All right, that closes out our service. Remember, it's Desiree's birthday today, so she's next door, so make sure if you see